Father, we thank you and we praise you for your grace and your mercy, for the chance that we have to come here and to worship you through the music, through your word, through the witnessing of baptisms, to see your grace in people's lives is such an incredible blessing. So we praise you and we love you and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be here, good to worship with you. Our baptism services are some of my favorite of the year, to hear the testimonies and to see people declare before others their love and their commitment to Christ is really a grace. But before we witness the baptisms and hear testimonies this morning, I wanted to briefly explain what baptisms are and what they symbolize so that we can truly appreciate them and even more so that we might be moved to worship. I think when it comes to ceremonies and symbolism, the significance is often lost on us, or we simply overlook them or take them for granted. Our youngest son is adopted, and when he was 2 years old, he became an American citizen. Okay, so we took him to this big courthouse. He got this flag. He was pretty excited because it was a sharp stick, but he had no idea what the flag meant, obviously. He received a certificate of citizenship. He can't read. It meant absolutely nothing to him. There was a video message from Barack Obama. Doesn't know him. If it had been Elmo, he would have been interested. No interest in Obama. At the end, he actually had to do a pledge, which means I had to hold up his right hand because he doesn't know his right from his left hand, and you can make the jokes from that. But he doesn't know his right from his left, and then I had to actually do the pledge for him. And part of it said, and I quote, "I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law." So he was two, and he was committing to go to war for us if needed. Now, trust me, he wants to bear arms. Okay, that's not the issue here. But really, again, no idea what was going on. Overall, that morning, he had more interest in the fruit snacks. So it's kind of completely lost him. A really significant day in his life, and it was completely lost on him. Well, the same can be true for us. I don't know how many baptisms I've witnessed over my life, but especially when I was younger, I don't think I really appreciated what was happening. But we can't miss it, because this morning, we get to see the gospel illustrated. And in part, that is what baptism is a symbol, an illustration of the gospel. The Reformers would call it visible words. One of the reasons this is important to understand is that it means that baptism doesn't earn us favor. In other words, getting baptized doesn't save you or make you a Christian. It represents something. It says something. Now, this makes evangelical Christianity different and unique from every other religion. Even something like Catholicism, in which they perform religious rituals because they earn you favor with God or they bring you salvation. The illustration I use every year is my wedding ring. This ring doesn't make me married, so if I take it off, my wife can't get excited. She still has to be married to me. But it's a powerful symbol of marriage. You know, if we were in a fight and I were to take it off and throw it on the ground, I mean, that would be pretty serious. Christian baptism is unique and that it doesn't earn us favor, and yet it's vitally important because it represents something very significant, and it conveys this powerful picture of a believer's salvation in Christ. Baptism, then, is an outward demonstration of an inward reality of a believer's union with Christ. Now, the specific illustration is one of life and death, of one dying and being brought to life. Colossians 2:12 says this, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." So it's this picture of the spiritually dead being given new life in Christ. And with this picture of life and death, there is a certain stunning severity to baptism. It's not just religious ritual. It's not something we do because we're a church. But it pictures this spiritual struggle where souls are at stake. Now, this is a far cry difference than what people often imagine Christianity to be about. For some, Christianity is about bettering people, making them stronger, fitter, able to handle the world. Now, in that case, maybe a better illustration would be to have our candidates come up and do some push-ups, you know, to represent them getting stronger. And I'm sure they would love to do that in front of the church. For others, they take it a bit more serious. It's the church helping people, making sick people healthy. Or in that case, maybe the better illustration would be to have people come up and take medicine to show the gospel's role in making them feel better. But the gospel is not ultimately about making people stronger or making sick people better. It's about bringing the dead back to life. The Bible tells us that God created us and made us to live for him in perfect obedience and joy. It wasn't slavish, it wasn't boring, it wasn't agonizing in any way. Because we were made to live for God, nothing brought us greater joy. So when men and women were created, everything was perfect, everything was right. But then sin entered the world and it devastated everything. I doubt anyone, Christian or not, would question the fact that the world isn't perfect. And the reason is sin. We live in a fallen world. Sin is the breaking of God's law, but worse, it's our condition, which means we are sinners by action and by nature. And nothing is more serious than sin. Sin is more serious than struggle or suffering or even death. Because sin is not simply mistakes or doing something wrong, it means that our sins are acts of rebellion against God. Because every time we sin, we're declaring that we will not live for God. Think about that for a moment, what it is to be a sinner in rebellion against the holy God of the universe. So sin ruins the relationship we have with God. And because of our sin, our righteous God must judge and punish our sin with his eternal wrath. If he didn't deal with sin, he would not be a just God. And God is perfectly just. He is always, always fair. Imagine someone murdered your family. You would want justice served. You would want the lawbreaker punished. God is always just. He always punishes sin. So because all of us are sinners, all of us are rebels against God, awaiting judgment, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it on our own to bring about our salvation. So what does this mean? We are all dead in our sins. As Paul will say in Colossians 2:13, the verse right after our verse on baptism this morning, we are dead in our trespasses. So though we physically still have breath, spiritually, apart from Christ, we're dead. They have a term for someone on death row, someone awaiting execution. It's their dead men walking. And that describes each of us apart from Christ. We are dead men walking. I mean, we can move around and then we can breathe, but spiritual judgment is inevitable. And apart from Christ, we are as good as dead. And so there's a gravity to baptism that we must not miss. There is a spiritual judgment that is inevitable, and there is a spiritual death that awaits each one of us apart from Christ. But the picture of baptism doesn't end there. John Piper says there is a gravity and gladness to worship. And I would say the same thing about baptism. There's a gravity to baptism, but there is so much more gladness. And the reason is that the baptism is a picture of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And the gospel says that though God is just, he is also loving. And so he sent Jesus to be our Savior. How? By taking the penalty that we deserve upon himself. Have you ever wondered how a man going to a cross could bring forgiveness and salvation? Christ went to the cross and suffered God's wrath for me, taking my punishment so that I would never have to. He took my place. So though the physical pain of the cross was significant, what was infinitely worse was that Christ was suffering God's wrath instead of me who deserves it. In other words, because I put my faith in Christ, my sins were credited to Jesus, and God crushed him for it on the cross. And conversely, his perfect righteousness, his holy life was credited to me so that I get to live as a son of the living God. He died for me. His death was my death. And then he rose from the grave, and I rose from death to new life. And that's what baptism is symbolizing. Again, listen to Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Romans 6:4 puts it this way. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. When we watch our brothers and sisters coming up out of the water, we are seeing a picture of the dead being, of people being raised from the dead, of spiritually dead people being given eternal life. And so this baptism is this powerful illustration. No longer are we dead men walking, awaiting the unavoidable judgment to come. Rather, we are men and women with new life, destined for eternity with our Savior. Remember, people are Christians not because they're baptized or they go to church. but because they've turned from their sin and they've placed their faith in Jesus as their Savior. Salvation by grace through faith alone. If you're not a Christian and you want to be saved, it's not about being a good person or knowing a lot of the Bible. It's not about going to church or performing some religious ritual. You must genuinely trust in Jesus for your salvation. Those getting baptized this morning, they're declaring that. They're saying, that's me. Christ died for me. I was dead, and now I have new eternal life, and I want to live for him. And so may God bless us all as we witness this incredible display of the gospel, of death and life, of love and mercy, of God's grace to sinners like you and me. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We deserve death. We deserve to stay in our spiritual grave. We deserve eternal wrath. But you gave us new life in Christ. You gave us grace and mercy. You poured out your love upon us. So, Lord, as we witness the baptisms this morning, as we hear the testimonies, may we be aware of the significance, and then even more, may we be moved to worship. We thank you, we love you, we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, half of our group is going to get baptized in the first service, and half are going to get baptized in the second service. But for those who are getting baptized in the second service, we wanted them to first come up and share their testimony so that you can still rejoice with them. You can kind of get to know them a little bit better. You can congratulate them after service. And so first, we're going to have Erica Coe come up and share her testimony.
Hi. My name is Erica Coe, and I'm currently a middle school teacher. This is my testimony. I grew up in the church, but I never felt like I understood the gospel until my first year of college. I had joined a Christian club on campus, heard the gospel preached every week, and began to study the Bible with a group of girls who were curious about Jesus. That summer, I had a chance to go on a missions trip to Thailand. Before I left for the trip, I was filled with fears of dying because it was a far destination, and it was the first time I was traveling without my family. I asked my mom if she was worried about me, but she laughed, said, "Have faith," and walked away. I was shocked because she didn't even hug me goodbye. Fortunately, during the trip, my friend helped me to realize that maybe the feelings of death I had were related to how God wanted me to die to my sin and my old self recognizing Christ's death on the cross and become a new creation in Christ through the resurrection. I realized that God had been with me all along, and it gave me a new purpose in life, an amazing God that loves me more than I could ever imagine and forgives me to the depths of my sinful heart. After accepting Christ in college, living Christian life was a struggle. I tackled with questions like, am I really a believer if I can't answer all those questions about Christianity? Or, what does it look like practically to be a Christian? After I graduated from college, I found out my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Fortunately, I was planning to take a year off, so I was able to take care of my dad and support him. In that time, it was bittersweet because I got to know my dad even better than before since I spent so much time with him. At the same time, I couldn't help but be overwhelmed by sadness and fear of when and if he would pass away. The only thing that gave me hope during this time was knowing that God was in control. Neither I nor even doctors or modern medicine could heal my dad, but I knew God had a purpose and was all-powerful because God created the world. And although the situation might not have appeared good, God promises good to those who trust in him. Within a few months, he passed away on Thanksgiving Day in 2011. Although it was difficult, I was thankful to know that my dad knew he had so much to live for, how blessed he was in his life to know God and share his faith during this time, and that even those who are not Christian in my family felt like it could not have just been a coincidence that my dad would pass on a day we were to remember to be thankful. The greatest struggle for me after was trying to fill the void of my dad, who had been the source of my comfort, acceptance, and love after he had passed. Although I knew to turn to God, I tried to numb the pain of his passing by finding it in the world. This left me even more empty. Fortunately, during this time, I was able to attend Lighthouse and receive biblical counseling. I was able to see my faith for what it was and was graciously reminded once again of the truths in Christ. I realized that it was sin to turn away from God in trying to fill the void I had with anything other than Jesus. But through repentance, I found God's forgiveness and grace to find my identity and joy in Christ. To know that God is so good, always with me, chases after me, loves me, forgives me, and disciplines me out of his love, brings me comfort and hope to trust in him with my future. It is a daily struggle to turn to God each day, but only in Christ is there true comfort, true hope, true joy, and true peace, which he has already promised to those who believe in him. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elena Inamine. I'm a recent USC graduate and have been attending Lighthouse for about 3 months now. And despite growing up in the church, it took me a really long time to really understand the gospel and the role that it played in my life. To me, salvation and the gospel and even God were just a means of getting to heaven. And it wasn't until college that I really started to see God not only for what he accomplished for me on the cross, but truly as my joy and satisfaction. The past 5 years have been a long and heartbreaking yet humbling and joyful season of seeing the gospel unfold in my own life, and through that so clearly seeing what great lengths God has gone to bring me back to him time and time again. There is a period in college where I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. It was unpopular amongst the people I was surrounding myself with, and I was so terrified of losing the worldly possessions that I so tightly held on to and instead clung to false hope and lies, confident that they were all I needed to be happy. During this time, I ignored truth spoken to me in love and insisted that I knew what was best for me. But God was my relentless pursuer. In seasons of indifference, he still cared for me. In seasons of discouragement, he gave me strength to carry on. And in seasons of wandering, he never left my side. No matter how many times I tried to run away from community or ignore words that I knew to be true, God is the one who never let me go. And then coming out of college, I had a lot of baggage and things undealt with. There are a lot of broken relationships and bad decisions that seemed irreparable and that I thought stood in the way of me being in good standing with God. I remember times throughout this past summer where I would compare where I was at with where I wanted to be, and just felt like something wasn't working right. But God is my perfect savior, and this past summer I served as a cabin leader at a high school camp where God showed me the hope that I can have in his sovereignty and not my own. As the cabin leader of 7 16-year-old girls, I so badly wanted to see my girls' hearts change and to see them love Christ more than anything else. But God reminded me time and time again that he is the one who changes their hearts and mine. And I couldn't save them or myself, but I could find hope and joy and peace in knowing that we have a Savior who loves us more than we can love ourselves and who paid the ultimate price for me. The past few months have been a time of really discovering who God is intimately. The God who pursued me in college is the one who continues to pursue me now. And the God who began a good work in me 22 years ago will bring it to completion. God is my faithful Father who knows my name, changes my heart, and seeks my good for his glory. And I can rejoice in my salvation and in my identity as his own, and in seasons of change and discovery, because I know that my God is and will always be my relentless pursuer, perfect Savior, and faithful Father.
I'm Zach Chen, and I go to Cal State Long Beach, and this is my testimony. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I thought that I was a Christian because I went to church, I served, I knew all the answers to questions in Sunday school, and I didn't commit any crazy sins. But God's call is much more extreme than this. Not extreme in a sense of how much more we need to do, but in attitude and faith. Philippians 3:8 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." It's that kind of desire that I had never had. Since my faith was only based on what I did when I entered middle school and was hit with a world full of blatantly sinful people, I realized that there is no hope of anyone deserving salvation. In Romans 3:10, it says, "None is righteous, no, not one." And that was something that I could see very clearly. I looked at my own life and I saw myself sinning against others and not able to stop the depravity of my heart and mind. I found myself to be less than worthless. I felt like my only contribution to this world was stress because of my incompetence and sinfulness, especially to my mother. So it'd be better for everyone if I just didn't exist. But God, being rich in love and grace and being sovereign over all of this, allowed me to enter a period of depression so that I could realize that I had not really been saved this whole time. Then in the summer after middle school, my youth pastor showed a clip of the Passion of the Christ and told us that this could portray the physical pain that Jesus went through, but it could not portray the infinitely greater pain of bearing the wrath of God for the sins of the world. God found me worth bearing hell for. It was in love that he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. We are raised to new life, to live for his glory. We'll fail, but he'll still love us. And I thank God for how he has orchestrated my life, and I have faith that he will continue to guide and mold me until I die, and then through eternity.
My name is Laura Prato, and I've been at Lighthouse for about 8-9 months. I'm a senior, and I'm about to graduate from UC Irvine this year. So the reason why I wanted to get baptized in the Christian church is because since the moment I walked in here, I felt something I've never felt before. I felt the strongest and most relatable connection to Christ I've ever felt. I thought that I knew Jesus Christ. I grew up in the Catholic Church, indifferently sitting in the pews and going to communion and confirmation classes, without any awareness of how important and strong God's grace is in our lives. The vastest difference that I noticed was the basic foundation of Christ's love. I am no longer trying to get into heaven through my actions or confessions. Christ loves me no matter what I do, which he demonstrated by dying on the cross for my sins. And all I have to do is put my faith in Christ alone, and he accepts me. This elementary foundation is obvious to many longtime Christians, but not to the masses of unbelievers. I am blessed to have found Lighthouse, especially in a moment of my life where I so needed of Christ, and he found me and blessed me. Before coming to Lighthouse, I didn't know I had sin in my heart. I felt hate, and I worshiped the world, especially its money and titles. I did not realize my sin because I compared myself to the truly evil people. Slowly, I learned that when you accept Jesus Christ, you are no longer consumed by the present, and sin no longer controls us when we begin to worship the one who created us. I am a new Christian. I am learning more about Christ's love day by day, but I am certain I have never been happier than I am now. I used to live life in rebellion, and I was scared of death because I felt alone. Christ helps me see that I can only find my security and worth in him. Faith changes how we live, it transforms our desires, and it changes where we call home. I want to live a life transformed by the gospel because my soul finds peace in knowing Christ.
Hi, I'm Anna Lee. I'm here to share my testimony this morning. I've been going to Lighthouse for almost 6 months now, since June. I just want to thank everyone who has been so supportive of giving my testimony and the baptism ceremony this morning. I'm so thankful. Although I was going to church growing up, I did not really know what being Christian or being saved meant. In middle school, I was immigrated from Korea to a small town in California called Idlewild, where there was no Asian population. Just none, just me. And everyone just looked at me kind of like an animal, you know, like why do you look like that, you know? So I struggled making friends and often felt really lonely, depressed. And then I went off to high school. And my dream was to be a violinist. And for a short period of time, I lived in New Jersey. And actually got lessons in New York. So I was staying there. I was very excited because I was getting lessons in the East Coast, and I really thought there that place is where my dream would come true. But it just felt completely shattered when I had to move back to California. And through these ups and downs, I developed eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia. And what seemed like so much control in the beginning ended up being something uncontrollable very quickly. And once I was really deep into the sin, the vicious cycle and false thoughts seemed to just control me. And I went off to college pretending like nothing, I'm not sick, everything is perfectly fine. And on the second year of college, I hit a wall. My relationships were falling apart, my academics, everything just seemed out of control, and I was suffering to the extent where I was no longer able to perform my daily task or any kind of academic tasks. There were moments I felt as though the dark tunnels, and at the end of it, there's really no life or hope. I had to take a break from college and get treatment. My mom found out about my illness when I was first hospitalized, and through the recovery process, I just realized that even though I was going to church all my life, that my Creator, only through Him, I can be healed and receive hope to carry on my life again. So gradually, I became more aware of my false thoughts and their influence, and the truth was revealed to me by His grace. For the first time in my entire life, I found comfort and hope knowing that I was already unconditionally and deeply loved, and I recovered from the sin and that has once ruled over me for many years of my life. And several years after, I was in a car accident where my mom and I were rear-ended by a drunk driver and making our car spin three times from the fourth lane to the first on the freeway. The car was totaled, but we didn't have a single scratch on our body. When I thought it was the end of it, I was saved once again. And here I am desperately wanting His grace, love, and wanting to share and mature within the body of Christ. I still struggle to find joy and meaning in my life, and I strongly believe that He will finish what He has started in me and use all things in me for the good.
Hi, my name is Timothy. I've been going to Lighthouse for a little bit over a year now, and I'm a senior at USC, and this is my testimony. Born and raised in a believing household, I don't remember the particular moment I became a Christian, but I do know that I had believed in the gospel and found salvation in Christ at a young age. I'm immensely thankful that I grew up with a family of such strong faith. My father was a pastor, and both my parents had attended seminary. Practically, this meant that day in and day out, I was constantly learning and growing in my relationship with God. That wasn't to say that my spiritual walk was without its rough spots. Particularly in high school, I began earnestly wrestling with questions about my existence, about the purpose of my life. At worst, these questions would throw me into periods of depression for weeks on end, leaving me wondering whether it was worth living at all. It was mid-senior year when I was hit by a car and sent to the ER. From the moment I recovered consciousness on the asphalt, I became acutely aware of a truth that would become central to my life. The very reason I and all of us exist is for the divinely appointed purpose of glorifying God and exalting Him in all that we do. Nothing, not even a collision with a high-velocity mass of metal, would get in the way of that purpose's fulfillment. Since the accident, my life has been a series of opportunities, challenges, and graces from God that continue to push me forward in my spiritual walk day by day. I started college, began attending Lighthouse, and was introduced to a wonderful community of believers who have been a major blessing to me. I've grown in my understanding of God, of myself, and the church in ways I could not have even imagined just a few years ago. My baptism today is an assertion of my life's dedication to His plan. It is a mark of my conviction as I strive for the fulfillment of God's will within me, seeking Him as my source of both strength and refuge. I'm thankful for all that God has brought me through and eagerly await the future He has yet to reveal. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a second year at USD, and I've been coming to Lighthouse for about a year now. And this is the testimony of how God has been really gracious to me. So I was born and raised in a Christian home with a very loving and supportive family. My family has a history of faith, starting with my grandparents. On my father's side, a pastor. And on my mother's side, an elder in the church. My first recollection of faith was at the age of 7, where I made the conscientious decision to dedicate my life to Christ and prayed that he would reside in my heart. However, my life after that point did not reflect the faith in Christ that I professed. While I would go to church with my family, pray before meals, my faith never became a major part of my life. I always prioritize other things like school, family, or my free time. This came to bear bad fruit as I entered a rough time in my life. In my Christian middle school and at church, I was subject to bullying, and this drove me to blame God for my problems and see Christians in a negative light. Ultimately, for at least a short while, I renounced my faith. While this was happening, however, I could not bring myself to believe that God didn't exist. I hadn't come to fully realize the significance of the gospel, though, even though I knew vaguely what it was. Around this time, due to what was taking place in my life, I started to at least think about committing suicide. It was an easy way out. The bullying I went through and the social estrangement I would later encounter in my first 2 years of high school, I could just leave and they would stop. And I thought it would be an easy way from what seemed like hell to me to being able to just be in heaven. This thought stayed with me for a while, and while it diminished over time, I can't say that I stopped thinking about it completely until I rediscovered my faith in college. While in late high school, after moving from Canada to the United States, I found a very loving group of friends, and my life circumstances turned around. I began to win awards in music and was accepted to USC with a full tuition scholarship. These blessings reminded me that if I had committed suicide, I would never get to experience the enjoyment I had then. It also reminded me that those blessings can only have come from God and not from any of my own efforts. After that trial had passed through, I'm not going to say I passed that trial, but at least I was alive. But my faith wasn't a central priority in my life still, and I wasn't active in the church or making a discipline out of Christian living. God, however, was very merciful and still planted a desire in my heart to at least know him and not fall away from the faith as so easily could have happened. This desire led me to join a Christian fellowship in university, led me to meet my small group leader who mentored me and introduced me to Lighthouse. While I'm not in that fellowship anymore, I experienced a lot of spiritual growth and maturity there. And as I became more involved in Lighthouse over the past year, my faith continued and still continues to grow. I think this really took off when around last January, I was suddenly hit by an awe and appreciation of the gospel. Previously, it had just seemed to me like something that I should just know, but I never really understood the importance of. But the beauty of just the paradox that God would send his only son, who is completely sinless, to be judged in the place of the ones who not only broke his law, but then strove to defy and hurt him in eternal rebellion. I realized that if I had difficulty forgiving those who bullied me in middle school, how much greater is God's love that he would not only forgive us, who treated him much worse than that, of our sins, but sacrifice his only son in order to do so. I think this is when I started to take my faith somewhat seriously. I was introduced later in the year to the importance of the local church and being active in serving in the church, and really reached out to by the community in Lighthouse who's really supported me. And yeah, this all sums up just the tremendous spiritual growth that God has blessed me with over the past school year. God has been so good to me throughout my life, and even the hard times I experienced were an instrument in helping me to better understand the gospel. I'm very excited for the adventure ahead as God graciously builds me up in faith, maturity, humility, and understanding of his word in the gospel. Praise God for the relentless grace he has poured upon me throughout my life. Thank you.